As our neighboring states of Arizona and Texas draw national attention over controversial policies to crack down on undocumented immigrants, New Mexico has remained relatively calm, even under the radar in the national conversation. In the first part of a series this week on immigration policy, we look at what makes our state different. Tomorrow, we'll have a closer look at how Secure Communities is being implemented around New Mexico. Sarah Gustavus is a fellow this year with the Institute for Justice and Journalism's Immigration in the Heartland program.
At the Bareilles Coffee House in Albuquerque, a group of older guys are laughing and teasing each other.
We're all retired letter carriers that get together once a month.
They talk about old times and current issues for the Postal Service. Most of these men look Hispanic or Latino, but you can't tell who was born in Mexico and who was born on this side of the border.
Consider myself Hispanic.
Our heritage is a little different. We think that we're Spanish or Chicanos. Especially up north.
In the old days, it was hard for you to call yourself a Mexican, you know, because you try to shy your way out from it. But, you know, now I'm proud to be a Mexican, you know.
That's John Rubio, Florindo Floyd Romero, and George Vasquez. The term Hispanic didn't even exist when they were young, and the words people use to describe ethnic identity have changed over the course of these men's lives. That's because of economics and politics. State historian Rick Hendricks says Mexican immigrants were long welcomed into New Mexico. That is, until the Great Depression.
There was a very strong anti-Mexican flavor to the Depression, and that was primarily because the competition for jobs.
In the 1920s and 30s, the newly created Border Patrol started restricting travel to and from Mexico and removing people.
Both Mexican citizens and also people who were U.S. residents but of Mexican heritage were rounded up in Colorado and Texas and basically shipped back to Mexico.
But not in New Mexico. Many families had been here for centuries. Some even trace their heritage back to Spanish colonization. Hispanics owned land and ran state government. But many New Mexicans still felt they had to distance themselves from their Mexican heritage. During the Depression, more and more New Mexicans started calling themselves Spanish.
It's not rocket science to know that people will not want to take on a word of stigma, a concept of stigma.
That's Christine Sierra, a political science professor at the University of New Mexico. She says New Mexicans continued to welcome immigrants throughout the last century, especially from Mexico. They came to work in the chili fields and the mining industry, and they were integrated. About 44% of New Mexicans identify themselves as Hispanic or Latino. That's more than the number of people who call themselves white. In the past decade, as other states have cracked down on immigrants, cities like Albuquerque and Santa Fe wrote anti-discrimination policies, and the state legislature passed a law that lets anyone get a driver's license, whether they're in the country legally or not. New Mexico is one of only a few states that allow this.
We stand out from the roar, from the noise, as a state that's willing to consider alternatives.
But those policies are under fire. New Mexico's population and economy is small. Some say restrictive laws in states around us may push more immigrants into New Mexico. Some newly elected leaders have tapped into those fears. Last November, Republican Susana Martinez from southern New Mexico became the state's first Latina governor.
And if we're going to tell New Mexicans we're serious about securing the border, we must stop giving driver's licenses to illegal immigrants.
With support from her more conservative base, Martinez pushed for a repeal of the driver's license law immediately after taking office. Yet Democrats from heavily Hispanic northern New Mexico closed ranks in solidarity with new immigrants and narrowly voted to keep the policy. Professor Sierra says that response shows attitudes in New Mexico are still very different from Arizona and Texas.
Compared to other places, it is true that New Mexicans have much more tolerance, and certainly on the issue of immigrants, it has been displayed. And I think that's how to read the legislature's vote against the governor.
Governor Martinez is still looking for ways to end the driver's license policy without legislative approval. And immigrants' rights advocates are now raising alarms about the new anti-immigrant tone coming from some politicians and federal immigration enforcement programs in the state. They say programs that target criminals who aren't in the country legally are having an impact far beyond the border. They're compromising the tolerant culture of New Mexico. For KUNM, I'm Sarah Gustavus.
More immigrants are being deported from the United States than ever before, and it's not all happening at the border with Mexico. It's from communities like Taos, Albuquerque, and Farmington. KUNM's Sarah Gustavus reports on how a federal program called Secure Communities is becoming an important tool for immigration officers. Sarah Gustavus is a fellow with the Institute for Journalism's Immigration in the Heartland program.
Rebecca Kitson says she's getting a lot of calls these days from people who are facing deportation. She's a lawyer. She says the vast majority were first arrested by local police, not picked up by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE.
We had an individual just recently that we were working with who had been in the United States for 30 years. The first time that she came across law enforcement was she did get arrested for a DWI.
This is likely Secure Communities at work. Under the program, any person arrested in New Mexico has their fingerprints shared with ICE. If ICE believes they may not be in the country legally, ICE can request that a local jail hold them, it's called a detainer, for 48 hours while an immigration officer investigates. Michael Duvall says Secure Communities helps law enforcement at all levels get more information about people faster. He's the secretary of New Mexico's Homeland Security Department.
It's not a judgment on the law enforcement officer to decide whether to contact ICE. It's all done automatically. So it really takes out the suggestion of racial profiling because it does it across the board.
But Rachel Lazar says the system sweeps up victims as well as criminals. She's director of El Centro de Igualdad y Derechos, an immigrants' rights organization in Albuquerque.
Once that person is screened by ICE, they cannot be unscreened. So once they're in the system, it doesn't matter if they're a victim. It doesn't matter if the arrest was unlawful.
Lazar and other advocates say Secure Communities is blurring the lines between local law enforcement and ICE and creating fear in the minds of immigrants, like Laura. She's been living in the U.S. illegally for several years and declined to give her last name for this story. She was the mother of a toddler and pregnant when her husband, Angel, was detained while passing out business cards. Angel was turned over to ICE and deported. Laura says he was never charged with a crime.
To this moment, we've been trying to avoid contact with the police, trying to drive with caution and do what everyone comes to this country to do, to work, because we didn't want to have contact with the police, but we weren't afraid of it. Now there's fear with the police.
The official goal of Secure Communities is to remove violent criminals, rapists, murderers, drug dealers from the country. But according to ICE statistics, since the fall of 2007, only 16% of about 580 deportations in New Mexico have been because of those types of crimes. The vast majority were people charged with misdemeanors or who had no criminal history. Marcela Diaz is director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido, a Santa Fe-based nonprofit that advocates for immigrants.
It's all under this guise of, well, we're only going after the criminals, not the innocent workers. Well, not really. You are innocent until proven guilty in this country, and most of these folks, before they can even deal with their crimes in a court of law, are swept away.
Taos County is trying to create their own adaptation of Secure Communities. Jail Administrator William Cordova says if a person already has an ICE detainer in their file, the jail will put that in the system, but they won't call ICE.
You have this individual here. They've completed their sentence. You have your 48-hour hold time to come pick them up. We have left it up to immigration to get that information.
Some question whether Taos has to honor any ICE detainers. Marcela Diaz believes they're voluntary because ICE doesn't actually have a way to punish a local jail that doesn't hold someone.
It's not an arrest warrant. It's just a hunch, maybe, that ICE has that they may be undocumented.
The Taos County policy is new, but represents the generally more inclusive culture of northern New Mexico. Again, William Cordova.
If we hold them for the 48 hours, we have to take care of them. We have to feed them. We have to house them. But I think the big thing came down to values.
Taos County is small and politically progressive. There are few undocumented immigrants, and even fewer with criminal records. It's not clear if what Taos officials are doing is allowed, or if anyone is really watching them. Yet advocate Rachel Lazar is still hopeful that New Mexico communities like Taos can find a middle ground that would set an example for the nation.
That a border state can have public safety as well as protect the civil rights of our community members, that those things are not mutually exclusive, that we can do those things.
ICE aims to have Secure Communities in place across the country by 2013. Some places like New York State or the city of Oakland in California say they want to opt out. Responding to widespread criticism, the head of ICE, John Morton, announced recently that there will be changes, that officers will focus on criminals and protect victims. But he says no county or state can opt out of the program. For KUNM, I'm Sarah Gustavus. Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Deportations in the United States are on the rise. About 400,000 people were deported from the U.S. last year. One of the changes in recent years has been an increased focus on collaboration between local law enforcement and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Much of this is happening in local jails and during arrests by local police officers and sheriff's deputies. To talk about what this means in New Mexico, we have Robert Schilling, Chief of the New Mexico Police, with us by phone. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
And in the studio, Elsa Lopez, community organizer for Somos Un Pueblo Unido, a Santa Fe-based immigrants' rights organization. Good morning, Elsa.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You can join us today for this conversation by calling 505-277-5866, 877-899-5866, or email callinshow@kunm.org. We'd like to hear, what do you think about local police working with immigration officers and what kind of enforcement you want to see in New Mexico? Chief Schilling, first, let's touch on immigration is federal laws. So why is this relationship between local police and immigration officers? Why does it exist?
Well, I think primarily more than anything is the duty and obligation of law enforcement everywhere, not only in New Mexico, but across the United States to enforce all laws in the country, including federal laws when they can assist and help enforce those federal laws that impact the safety and welfare of communities around the country. And I think that's at the crux of what law enforcement is looking at in a very general sense. In a very specific sense, local law enforcement, just like the federal agencies as they stand today, are struggling with resources, both manpower and money. So we have to be judicious in how we do things. And obviously in a large state like ours, there isn't an ICE office or an immigration and customs enforcement official in every town across the state. So it's relatively hit and miss, with the exception of some of the emerging technology from a cooperation standpoint that we're seeing now.
Let's stay on secure communities, but let's bring in Elsa Lopez from Somos Un Pueblo Unido. You guys, have, like other advocates, have been watching this program. There's a little bit of controversy around it. What are you looking for right now?
There is a lot of controversy, actually, in the immigrant community, and lots of confusion, too. One of the problems that we see is that this secure communities program puts the local law enforcement on the front lines of immigration enforcement law. And that's very controversial. Our community right now, it's fearful of law enforcement. We have been working for so long as immigrants' rights advocates to create a relationship and build trust among local law enforcement and the immigrant community, so that we can all fight for better public safety for all in New Mexico. And unfortunately, what we have seen in recent years is that people now are less likely to report crimes. So crimes go unreported, victims go unprotected, and it's very controversial. Not only secure communities, but there are actually other programs like the Criminal Alien Program that is more common in New Mexico.
Next, let's hear from Javier in Albuquerque. What's your comment or question today?
Hi, good morning to everybody. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I work with a lot of immigrant communities, mostly here in Albuquerque, and I understand sort of the underlying purpose of secure communities. The problem is that sometimes that rhetoric doesn't match the record, if you will, and we have seen cases where the wrong people are being deported by the wrong people. I mean, people who haven't committed a crime, people who haven't been, unfortunately convicted in the court of law. They may have been arrested, but their name is later cleared, yet they've been deported.
Well,
We also have a counterpoint to that that we got via email at callinshow@kunm.org. Rafael in Albuquerque saying, you know, that both sides are maybe a little bit misled, that there are laws to be enforced, and why not by local police? Is not their function to enforce laws? Why are we looking the other way? Elsa, can you talk about the need to enforce laws?
Certainly. Well, one of the things that I like to mention is that entering the country without the proper, without checking in, basically, is not a crime. Being in the country without proper documentation is not a crime. Entering the country without inspection is a misdemeanor. And 55% of immigrants who are here undocumented, they are without documents, that they didn't come in without documents. So, and 45% of immigrants who came in with a visa, and they overstayed the visa. So they're not even guilty of that.
Mike from Albuquerque, what's your comment or question today?
Yeah, I mean, we have to look at this from a political perspective. Many of us out in the community worked, many Hispanics worked to get Obama elected, and this is frankly how he pays us all back. And, the safe cities things, this is kind of the first I hear of it, but the numbers tell that what the real objective is. The objective is to deport as many poor people as possible. And, I mean, you probably can find something like Correction Corporations of America behind it because they make money off this deal and other people like this. But, you know, I just have to tell you how deeply disappointed I am and how embarrassed I am that I had worked for and supported Obama. And this is, again, how he repays us. I mean, it's in my opinion, racist to the core. So I'll get off the phone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.